Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Please open your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 18, verse 35. It's there in your bulletin. And as always, I'd ask you to have your own Bible or Bible app open just in case we go somewhere else. And while you're opening there, I want to welcome Yasushi-san and also Miss Margaret. Thank you for joining us today. Okay, let's read together these passages. I'll read the first story from Luke 18, and then we'll continue when Luke 18 ends at verse 43. Please join me in reading Luke 19, 1 through 10. So let me begin and then join me in the middle. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening, and they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. And when he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. And when all the people saw it, they also praised God. Let's read together. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." The very words of Jesus. Amen. A few months ago, I went with my family to Aeon Mall near our house in Gion. And Naomi was shopping with the baby somewhere, and I was with the three boys. And we were sitting down at a table waiting for mommy to come back from shopping. And I had to use the restroom. So I told my three boys to stay at the table where they were having a snack. And I said, "I'll be back. I have to go to the restroom real quick. Daddy will be back soon." So I left to go to the restroom. And when I came back, one of them was missing. And it was the third one. Kazu was his name, yeah. And so it gets mixed up. You have four of them, you know. You know. So I said, boys, where's Kankan? Kankan's cousin. And they said, oh, he went out to walk. I said, what? And I said, well, go find him. So, you know, they went to go look for him. A few minutes passed. They come back. Well, we don't know where he is. Huh? So I went out, and we went outside because they said he went outside. And so we went outside, and I'm looking. I look, you know, we walked that way, walked that way. I said, you better find your brother and go. And so now I'm looking and I'm seeking, you know, and there's three emotions I'm feeling right now. The first is anger, okay? I was mad at my son for letting his little brother. And then there's anxiousness, like, okay, every minute goes by and I can't find my son, my favorite son, by the way. And it's true, okay? So I can't find him and I'm feeling anxious. And the third feeling is beginning to get bigger and bigger. It's desperate, I'm desperate. Because the more time passes, the more time I don't know if he's going further away or getting closer. And I would say about 10 minutes goes by, and finally I'm just about to explode. And I see two mall security guards walking. And I call them over and say, "Sumimasen, chotto, musuko ga maigo. I've lost my son." And I said, "He looks like this, he's wearing this, and he was around here, I think." And as I'm explaining it to them, behind them I could see Kazu, my third son. He's walking with his elder brother. I said, "Ah, sumimasen." And they said, "Okay, bye-bye." And I run, and I grab him, you know, and I start yelling at my other son, you know. I'm like, "Oh, I'm so happy, you know, but I'm so mad, but I'm so happy," you know. So, So we read verse 10 of 19. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. I kind of understand how he feels. Jesus, when he came to earth, he had one mission: to find you and to save you. To seek and to save. That's Jesus all the way through. How do I know? I read in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, he preaches his first sermon. And he says, "I'm here because God had put his spirit on me. He messiahed me. And he gave me the spirit to open the eyes of the blind and to set the captives free and to give the year of Jubilee." And this is good news for the poor. And from John or Luke chapter 5 all the way through, this is the last story in there before the crucifixion. We see Jesus opening the eyes of the blind, healing those who are lame and cannot walk, touching lepers, healing women and little girls, and being friends of the worst people around society, seeking and saving the lost. So, that's our message today. I'm so happy you came because I can preach the gospel to you today. So, let me back up for a minute, just pause. We're going through this year as the Shinyak Seisho Nyumon, the introduction to the New Testament. And the first part of this year, the first quarter, we're going through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So the first part in January, we preached three sermons on Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and then Pastor Kevin helped us with Matthew. And then after that, I preached three messages on John, okay, three sermons on John. And now we're on Luke. I'm going to preach one sermon today, and that's it, on Luke. And you say, Chris, that's crazy because Luke wrote the most in the New Testament. If you count all the words that all the authors, the person who wrote the most in the New Testament was not Paul and not John, but Luke. So why only one sermon on the Gospel of Luke? Because Luke is only half of the story. Luke wrote actually two books, which were supposed to be one. The first one was the Gospel of Luke, named after him. And then the other half was the Acts of the Epistles, or excuse me, the Acts of the Apostles. And so to cover the New Testament, we're going to do one sermon on Luke and then two sermons on the book of Acts starting next week. All right, now, so one sermon on Luke, okay, 25 chapters, and you get one sermon. What is the one sermon that captures the essence, the one sermon that really grabs the whole book together, the one passage? That would be Luke chapter 15, okay? Not Luke chapter 18 and 19. Luke chapter 15 is the heart of it, and that is the parable of the prodigal son, Hotomusko, right? That's the story. But I've preached that at least three times now in my 10 years plus here, so we're going to put it aside, and this is the next best thing, because in verse 10, which we just read, we have the theme verse of Jesus' ministry on earth, the theme verse. So if you could put a stamp on Jesus' life, it's right there in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Okay? So, who are the lost? And who are these people that Jesus wants? The subject of our sermon today is, what is it? Who does Jesus want? Okay? Who does Jesus want? So, we're going to go there. Now, to set it up, let me tell you about Jericho, right? In verse 35, chapter 18, it says, as Jesus approached Jericho. So let me tell you a little bit about Jericho, not lots. Jericho, it was about 17 miles away from the capital city of Jerusalem. And Jericho is now, at that time, in present day, it's not a big city. But in Jesus' day, it's pretty big. Pretty big. It was the city of palms. Okay, I grew up in Los Angeles, sunny Los Angeles. We have lots of beaches and palm trees. The weather was always nice. In fact, it was rather boring, I think. When I came to Japan, it was my first time to experience a proper autumn and a real winter and a nice spring and terrible summer. But in Los Angeles, it's spring all the way through. And it's nice, but I understand now it's pretty boring. You wear the same clothes all year. But here, you can, whatever. Okay, so anyways, that's Jericho. Jericho is just beautiful, it's sunny, and the weather's good, and so there's lots of people there, and because the weather's always nice, you can grow lots of good things. It was famous for its perfumes, one from balsam. It's a very famous fragrance. If you're familiar with history, Mark Antony, when he was in love with Cleopatra, he gave her a present of balsam perfume, just tons of it, from Jericho. And because of the weather, it was on a trade route from Damascus to Egypt, so there would be caravans, trucks just going right through the city. And so now you have tourists. So it's on the way to Jerusalem, it's on the way to Egypt, it's right on that main highway. So now you have lots of people, lots of business, okay? And when you have lots of people and lots of business, you're going to have lots of Romans. Lots of Romans. It was a big center in the Empire of Rome. So there were soldiers, centurions, people like that. Now, you have business, you have people, you have the government. That will give you two types of people without mistake. The first type of people, when you have lots of people, lots of business, is you have beggars, right? For those of you who have traveled from many, many cities, if you go to a developing country or a third world country, you know, it's part of the scenery. You go to look, and oh, this nice place and good shops, and then there are those begging for money, right? That's the first kind of person. The second kind of person that you find where there's lots of tourists, lots of people, lots of business, lots of government, is you're going to find tax collectors. Yeah, right? And those tax collectors are doing business with the government and with the businesses. Now, the interesting thing about the beggars and the tax collectors, both of them are in the same kind of category amongst the regular people, okay? There are the regular people, the workers, the businessmen, the families, the nice people, the teachers, the lawyers, you know, just regular people. And then there's those people. The ones on the streets, their clothes are dirty, they smell terrible, they always have their hand out. Maybe they have a disease or the sickness, they can't walk, they have an injury, or they're blind, something. Those people. And then there's that guy. Those people and that guy. That guy was the one with the tattoos, the nice clothes, the nice shoes. He drives the nice car. But you look at him and you think, how could he be wearing such nice clothes and nice shoes? But I know he doesn't work at a bank. He's not a businessman. He, you know, it's not honest money. Thank you. Right? And you think, you've seen those people, right? So whether it's those people, the beggars, or that guy, the tax collectors, they were outside. They were not part of the normal, everyday people. They were the outside people. And those people is what Jesus called the poor. The poor. You see, in Luke chapter 5, Jesus said, God put his spirit on me to preach good news to the poor. That word, tennis, in Greek, poor, that meant not only the ones with the empty pockets. Yes, that's poor. No money, no job, nothing. That's poor. But there was another meaning for the word poor, because literally, the word poor in Greek, it just means bent over. Low. Why? Because of your disability, your lack of money. Another reason why you're bent over or you're humbled is because you've made the wrong choices, wrong decisions, divorced, bankrupt, you're a sex worker. You're in the wrong crowd. You've done something to make your family reject you. So you're poor. You're poor in spirit. You're rejected by not only your family, your friends, society. You're poor. And Jesus says, I have good news for you, whether you're materially poor or spiritually poor. If you're on the outside, I have come to bring you inside. That's Jesus' message. That's why we have two stories, because those two stories is all of us. We are those people. We are that guy. We are the ones on the outside, and Jesus has come to bring us inside. That's good news. That's the gospel. Well, let's go into it just a little bit. The first one is the blind. So I haven't really figured out this whole sermon, so here's what I'm going to do for you. I want to give you the similarities between the blind man and Zacchaeus, and I want to give you a little bit of the differences. The differences are obvious. The differences are one's blind, one can see, right? The differences is one is obviously poor materially, and one has riches materially, okay? One is low and one is high, like literally. One is on the street and another one is in a tree, right? High place, but also in society. He has money, he has wealth. So now those are the differences. Now let's go into the similarities. Similarities are both of them cannot see Jesus. And so they have to do something in order to see Jesus, right? The first one literally cannot see Jesus. And so he's going to cry out. He hears him coming. And this same story about the blind man, that's in Mark and in Matthew. So in Mark, we have his name. His name is Bartimaeus. They call him blind Bartimaeus. So blind Bartimaeus is on the street, and he hears people coming. And he says, what's going on? You know? And they say, oh, it's Jesus. It's Jesus of Nazareth. Now, here's the thing about Bartimaeus. He has good ears because he's heard about this Jesus of Nazareth, right? Jesus, verse 37, Jesus of Nazareth is coming. So what does he say? The next verse, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus son of David. Jesus of Nazareth is coming. No, that's no ordinary Nazarene. I've heard stories. I've heard him heal the lame, heal the women. I've heard him touch the lepers, and they've become better. That's not just another man from Nazareth. That's the Messiah. I can't see him with my eyes, but with my heart, I could see him. I see him more than you all. This is the blind man who can see, right? So, he says, Jesus, son of David, Messiah, my Savior, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And they say, shut up. Don't bother him. Leave him alone. Okay. All right. No. He shouts louder, right? He shouted all the more, Jesus, son of David. And they're like, And what does Jesus do? He stops. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for stopping for me. I just got to preach this right now. Some of us here, and by some of us, I mean all of us some of the time, we are Bartimaeus, and we need to cry out, even though everybody's saying, just be cool, just be cool. Mo'il, you have to cry out. Even your own voice is telling you, Yo, just calm down. No, I will not calm down. I need to see. I need wisdom. I need insight. I need understanding. Jesus, son of David, King, Messiah, hear my voice. Hear my cry. How long do I have to wait for you, O God? How long? And my message to you is, oh, we have a good Savior. Because Jesus, the Jesus I know, he does not pass you by. The Jesus I know, he hears your voice. He counts your tears. And he goes to the one who will say, Son of David, have mercy on me. That's Jesus. And if that's you today, if you have come here and you heard, maybe, just maybe, at this church, I can find God. I have good news for you. God has been looking for you because he came to seek and to save the lost. And if you would, in your heart, in your soul, raise up your spiritual hands and say, have mercy on me. Ah, he's so good. He's so good. He's not going to keep on going and go right past you and come to Pastor Chris. He's going to come right to you. Hallelujah, Jesus. So that's Bartimaeus. We need to go to Zacchaeus. So there's Zacchaeus. Oh, it gets even better. Yeah. So now Jesus is outside Jericho. Now he's inside the city, passing through. The crowd is even bigger. There's even more people. And so here is this tax collector. Now, I've told you a little bit about the tax collector. Just a few more sentences. These tax collectors, nobody liked them. They were Jews, but they were like really bad Jews. Because they were the traitors. They worked with the enemy. Not only did they work with the enemy didn't even like them. Because the Romans thought, you tax collectors, you don't even love your people enough to be honest with them. And so it's very common that these tax collectors, they would have knives, like Levi. They would have knives with them because people would want to attack them. They have to be ready. So they were kind of violent sometimes because they would take money from people. The people would say, no, okay, there's some bad thugs. They would get the money out of them. Extortion, force, violence, whatever it took. Let me get your money. So that's this tax collector. Now, if you were a regular tax collector, like, say, Matthew, who wrote the book of Matthew, his former name was Levi, they didn't like you. If you were a boss tax collector, a manager, they called you the chief tax collector. There was a man by the name of Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector. Not just a regular bad guy, he was the boss bad guy. It could be that he was the one in charge of the city's tax, or it could be the whole nation. We don't know. Either way, he was rich, and he was hated. So, and he was short, very short. Yeah, I can't relate to him. So, he was very short, and Jesus is coming. He climbs this tree. He climbs the tree. I wonder why he climbs the tree. I wonder why. I think I know why. There are five times that the word tax collector is mentioned in Luke. Every single time you read about a tax collector, Jesus talks about them positively. Yeah, they're supposed to be the bad guy, but every time Jesus talks to them, he talks about a tax collector at the back of the church, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know, and he's going to the house of the other tax collectors, you know. And here's the last one. He knows the tax collector by name. So I wonder if Zacchaeus heard about these stories. I wonder if Zacchaeus heard about Matthew, Levi, who became a disciple of Jesus. And I wonder if he thinks, this Jesus, everybody else hates me. All these religious people hate me. All these people think I'm not a Jew. They think I'm a son of the devil, not a son of Abraham. Maybe this Jesus is different. So he climbs a tree. And so now he's there, he's waiting. Right? The whole people are coming, and this Jesus. And Jesus, just like he did with Bartimaeus, Jesus reached the spot. He looked up. And he called him by name. He knows my name. He knows each tear I've cried. He knows each groan I've moaned. He knows. You see, here's the thing, my friends. Here's the thing. Jesus didn't have to go through Jericho to get to, he's on his way to Jerusalem to go to the cross. Didn't have to go through Jericho. But he knew there was somebody that he had to go and find. There was the blind man, and there was the Zacchaeus. And if Jesus knows you and he's coming for you, he'll go wherever he needs to go to find you. Because he came to seek and save you. Thank you. And he's known Zacchaeus from eternity past. And finally, on this day, maybe 10 days before he's about to go to the cross, just a week and a little bit more before he's going to give his life as a ransom, he wants to get the blind man and he wants to get Zacchaeus. So he calls him by name, Zacchaeus, I've come for you. Hallelujah. Why? I want to stay at your house. So Zacchaeus, all right. So he goes. Now what does Zacchaeus do? He goes home, you know, he hides all his money. He takes down all the statues of the women. You know, he cleans up. No, immediately. He's got no time for cleaning up. No time to put it all together, put on the, yeah. Jesus has come. That's how Jesus enters your life. You see, there's a difference between this religious feeling and the gospel. Religious people think, I'm going to find God. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to turn my life around. I'm going to clean myself up. I'm going to pull myself out. And God is going to open himself to me. That's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. God comes to me while I'm in a tree, while I'm in the dirt. And God changes me from the inside. And God transforms my heart. And God cleans me up. And from that point, I can change. That's the gospel. The gospel is not, I find God. The gospel is, God has found me. That's the gospel. Now, if you can believe that, you can be a Christian. How can you become a Christian? Let me give it just very simple. How do you become a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ? You need to know two things. There's two things you need to know. Very simple. One, I am a great sinner. Number two, I have a greater Savior. The first thing you need to know is my sin is so bad. It's terrible. The second thing you need to know is my Savior is even greater, is even stronger than my sin. Even, in fact, my Savior overcame my sin. That's all you need to know. If you would know that, you're the next Bartimaeus. You're the next Zacchaeus. Let's close it. So Jesus comes into Zacchaeus' house. And what does he do? He just has some tea, some crackers. Okay, nice to meet you. I'm praying for you. I hope you do better. No. He says, I'm going to stay at your house. I'm going to eat with you. You need to take out some futons. I'm going to sleep here. That's how Jesus comes into our life. That's how our... See, here's the thing. I want you to come to church, and I want you to, you know, experience church and maybe, you know, sing, and maybe you can help, and maybe I can learn your name, and I'll pray for you every now and again. That's what I want. Jesus, he wants to go home with you. Yeah. That's how the people become Christians. Jesus, he becomes your friend. This is Zacchaeus. He had no friends. He is a tax collector. Oh, he had work friends, right? He had allies. He had, you know, business buddies. He had no friends. But Jesus says, Zacchaeus, you're my friend. And I'm the most important person there is to know. So if you're my friend, that's all you need. Just by the way, for those of us who are Christians already, that's how your family and your friends will become Christians. They won't become Christians if, you know, you share with them, a, you know, this blog or this book, right? You know, okay, read this. Here's a DVD. That's not how they do it. The best way for your family and friends to become, if you are loving them, eating with them, staying with them, that's how change works, is through friendship. So Jesus becomes Zacchaeus' friend. And now Zacchaeus says, all right, you loved me, let me love. And so here's what he does. He says, I'm going to recognize my sin. I need a Savior just like Bartimaeus. I'm going to recognize my Savior. That's Jesus. How does he recognize his Savior? He says, verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord. Something changed. Zacchaeus said, look, Lord. He called him Lord. You don't call Jesus Lord until he's your Lord. Right? Look, Lord. It's funny because Bartimaeus said, Lord, I want to see. And Zacchaeus says, look, Lord. Yeah. So he says, look, Lord. Here's what I'm going to do. You've come and you've changed me. I'm going to do something now. So he says, I'm going to give half of what I have. This is where it begins to become a little bit uncomfortable. I'm going to give half of what I have to the poor. Tenes. And then, that's not all I'm going to do. I'm recognizing my sin, my Savior. I'm going to recognize my secrets. If I have cheated anybody, taken money from anybody, I'm going to give 400%. I need you to understand what this means. Okay? Just follow me here. Why four times as much? See, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, chapter 5, God said, if you've cheated somebody from their money and you've profited, okay, give them back what you've taken and put on top of that 20%. So 120%. That's how you compensate. That's in the Old Testament. But even before that, you go back to Exodus chapter 22, verse 5. God says, if you have taken somebody's money by stealing it, you haven't cheated it, you've stolen it, right? They didn't know about it, you actually stole it, pay back double. Not 20%, double. That's 200%, okay? And then the Bible, so you go back a little bit further, 22 verse 1, it says this, if you've taken money by force, by violence, by damaging somebody, by hurting somebody, not 120%, not 200%, 400%. And Zacchaeus knows this. I've not only cheated people, I've not only stolen, I've hurt people, I've damaged people, I've beaten people for this money. Jesus, I want to pay back, but not just the minimum, not 120. I want to pay back the maximum. Why? So you could accept me? No. Jesus has already accepted him. Christian, how much do you owe God?
10%? Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. If you can't give him all, the rest of it is grace. He covers you with grace. It's not, okay, 10%, yeah, okay, that's all. Just once a week, I just had to go to church once a week, I can get away with that, and then Monday I'm fine? No. Zacchaeus says, 400%, give me the maximum, because Jesus, you've given me the maximum. So how can you receive Jesus the way Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus received him? It's very simple. You see, Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus, they didn't have this, but we have this. How can you become like Zacchaeus, so generous and so giving? How can you become so free like Bartimaeus? How can you do it? It's right here. Jesus was so rich. He was the most wealthy anybody could ever have. And he laid it all down and became poor so we could become rich. He didn't beat anybody, but he took all the beating. Jesus was the ultimate insider, like the Trinity. That's as inside as you can get. The ultimate insider. And he became the ultimate outsider so that we could come in to him. You and I all, we all on the outside. You feel it, don't you? I was at a party yesterday, graduation, sotsugyo party with high school students. So we're at this party, and the students are there, the parents are there, the faculty is there, the administration, and we're all supposed to be drinking and eating. And here's what happens. The students, they don't want to be alone, so they get together with their student friends. And then there's the mothers and the fathers, they can't relate to their kids, so they're just standing there. So they're just going to talk with each other. Just the mom and the dad are just talking to each other. I feel sorry for the moms who came by themselves. So the moms who came by themselves, they don't have their husband to talk to. So what do? They go with the other moms who came by themselves. And they're chit-chatting together. And then there's the faculty and the teachers. And they don't want to be, they're not the student, they're not with the family. They just get with the... And it's plain. I felt it. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be on the outside looking at everybody having a good time. But I just gave up. I'm sitting there. I got my cup. They got the faculty there, the students. I'm just like, this party sucks. this party's not that great. And I just think, man, I'm on the outside and I'm looking in. The truth is, that's all of us, because when we feel separated, that's our separation from heaven. And Jesus stretched himself out to take our hand on this side and to take God's hand here, and he says, let's put you together. And because he put us together, we can now be connected with each other. He went outside so we could be inside. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. If you would believe that today, if you would receive Jesus as your payment for sin, as your payment for being on the outside, I welcome you and I ask you to come and be with Jesus. Follow him like Bartimaeus. Live with him like Zacchaeus. That's the good news.